I would invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 5, please. Romans chapter 5. I'd like to start by asking a very simple question. How do you respond when someone says to you, "I love you"? One of the first things you might consider is who the person is that said it, because that will somewhat clarify perhaps what kind of love it is, whether it's your spouse, your children, your parents, or a very, very good friend. You might also consider how it is said. As a counselor, sitting with people with marital problems, it's kind of interesting when I remember one said, she said very clearly, she said, "I really love you." And he said something right back. He said, "I love you too." I don't quite think there was the same emotion in how she expressed it. In another situation, one of them said that, "I love you," and she turned around and said, "You sure have a funny way of showing it." Well, really, that's a great answer if you think about it. God has revealed in His Word His love for us so many times. One of my favorite verses is John 14:21, where Jesus said, "He that hath my commandments keepeth them." And then He said, "And he that keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." What an incredible offer. Think about it for a moment. God loves us. God's love is not sentimental. It's not vague. It's not a diffused feeling. Perhaps something like Charlie Brown's attitude when he says, "I do too love mankind. It's people I can't stand." Through the years of my ministry, I've had many people tell me that they love the Lord, and yet, as I watched their lives, they did not obey His word. They sure had a funny way of showing it. Before we look at the text, I ask you, do you really love the Lord this morning? Is there evidence of that love in your life? Do others recognize that you love the Lord? In the few moments that we have together this morning, I would like us to consider the characteristics of God's love. And I'm only going to give you a few. When I thought about this, I came up with about 20, 25. And I'm going to give you 9 this morning and be brief, if that's possible. Let's look at the text. Verse 6, please. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." And we all know that 8th verse, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." This is the highest expression of human love and devotion. God's love is greater in both nature and in degree, because he loved us when we were unlovely. The expression here in verse 6 says, "when we were yet without strength." And then in verse 8, he says, "while we were yet sinners." They parallel. It reveals our utter helplessness in the face of our sinful condition. And while we were yet in that condition, God's word says Christ died for us. It was at the time of our greatest need, a need that only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ could satisfy. When you consider anything about God, you have to recognize that you're considering that which is supernatural and absolute. So it's very important this morning to understand that God is absolute in truth, in love, and in holiness. This means God's love must never be separated from his truth and holiness. I stress that because so often God's people want to make that separation. When we speak of his love, we must recognize that it is always a holy love. It is a love in truth that he brings to us. Well, let's look at these characteristics real quick. And we start by just simply saying that God's word itself says God is love. And the first characteristic I want us to consider is the fact that God's love is supernatural. Now, when I look at that word supernatural and I think of God's love, the only thing I can think of is incredible. I'd rather say God's love is absolutely incredible. Think of it, a holy God in eternity past chose to express his love to us, sinners. That really is beyond the scope of our imagination. You think about it. We turned away from him. We transgressed his law. We cooperated with Satan. We failed to do God's word. And yet God says, I love you. That's very humbling. How do we respond to that kind of love? Love is an action word. It's a verb. That calls for a response from us. And yet it's very difficult sometimes because it's so difficult to understand the depth, the length, the breadth of God's love. We all know John 3:16. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's supernatural love. And the key word that describes or defines that love is the word sacrifice. Now you have to ask yourself, is my response to God a sacrifice? Do I really love him? Number two, God's love is everlasting in time. His love is an everlasting love, and it provides for us everlasting life. Jeremiah spoke of it in Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, he says, I have drawn thee. That statement was made to God's covenant people. If we search for any reason why he should love them so much, it would be very difficult because there was absolutely nothing in their character and their actions that noted that kind of consideration. And as was so for Israel, then the same is true of us today. Romans 5:8 reminds us that he loved us when we were his enemies. He saved us despite of us, not because of us. He saved us not because of any good in our lives, because there was none. But it is his love that draws us to the Savior. And as we respond to him daily, he draws us close to himself like the bridegroom to his bride or the mother for her children. John 6:44 reads, no man can come to the Son unless the Father draw him. We must never think that God saved us because of any good in our own lives. This love that God has chosen to bestow upon us will never diminish. That's real love. That's genuine love. And as sinners, we so often doubt his love. But here we have this comforting word, and he gives us the assurance that his love is everlasting. Number three, God's love is persevering in forgiveness. I love the illustration of Hosea and Gomer. And Gomer, she turned out to be a very unfaithful wife. If I had a name like Gomer, I could understand being unfaithful. But she was an immoral woman. But Hosea was instructed by God, chapter 3, verse 1, to go find her and to love her in spite of what she was. God used Hosea and his wife as an object lesson of the relationship between God and Israel. Israel had sinned. Israel had been an unfaithful wife. And still God loved his people, even persevering in forgiveness. Hosea had to go purchase his wife out of the slave market. Eventually she remained with her husband. But we should recognize that God has purchased us at a very tremendous cost with the precious blood of his own son. And the very moment you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, your sins were forgiven, past, present, future. There is no other way. No other way in this life or the next to get your sins forgiven, regardless of what you might do or regardless of what price you might pay. 1 Peter 1:18-19, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 4, the love of God is immeasurable in extent. I've got there in your notes, John 15:9. Add this there, please, Ephesians 3:17-18. And there God's love is given to us in the extent, and his love is incredible. You say, how do you know? Because it's overwhelming. It surpasses knowledge. And the extent is given to us. The Apostle Paul prayed in chapter 3, verse 18 of Ephesians, that we might comprehend the love of Christ. And he speaks of its breadth, the breadth extending to all people, for God so loved the world. Its length extending in all time. Its depth extending to the lowest condition of human need. And then in its height, extending to the highest heaven. No wonder Hebrews 7:25 tells us that Christ is able to save anyone to the uttermost that come unto God by him. His love is truly incredible. Jesus said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. And then he says, continue in my love. You say, how do we do that if it's so difficult to understand? Because the closer you draw yourself to him, the more you begin to understand the love of God and you begin to understand his precious word. Every facet of God's love is completely unlimited. 5, the love of God is infinite in definition. John 17:23. Christ said, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. What a statement. Several times in God's word, Christ speaks of his Father's love for himself. The Father loved the Son before the foundation of the world, John 17:24. And because of his love for the Son, the Father put into his Son's hand all things, John 3:35. And he revealed all things to his Son, John 5:20. And God's word makes it clear that he loved the Son even when he hung on the cross, John 10:17. Jesus prayed that the love with which his Father loved him might be in them. That's us. In John 17, he prayed that God's love might be in us, speaking of the disciples and all of the believers today. That's his will for you. It's so difficult to understand it, and yet at the same time, God continues to reveal as we grow closer and closer in our relationship with him. Not only are we unworthy of such love, we don't deserve it. And yet God gives it freely to those who come to him as humble sinners. Well, concerning infinity, everything about God is unlimited. I've often said it's unlimitable. How do you like that for a word? I think I created one. But his love is beyond measure. It is beyond comprehension. And yet he has chosen to reveal it to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And Romans 1:19-20 tells us that he has revealed himself in such a way so that we with our finite minds might be able to grasp eternal truths of our great God and eternal being. The love of Jesus Christ for us is the same. 6, the love of God is permanent in duration. Romans 8, 38, 39. Some of you have that verse memorized. For I am persuaded, he says, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, praise God, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's absolutely nothing that can separate you from God's love. And that's the confidence we ought to have as we live each day. There ought to be continued praise in our mouth because of the love of God for us. There's absolutely nothing in God's creation that can thwart His purposes for us in Christ. Now think about it for a moment. The cost of our redemption was the blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son. God's love for us is so great that He did not hesitate for a moment, but He delivered up His own Son freely. And that being the case, there is nothing that could ever separate us from the love of God. Number 7, the love of God is personal in intimacy. I've got down here Galatians 2:20, another familiar verse. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. There is the truth and the evidence of it right together. Who loved me and gave Himself for me. A tremendous truth regarding God's love. It's personal. God loves us as persons in the most individual manner as possible. So it's very correct for you to say that Jesus Christ came into this world to save me. And He loves me as a person. He had you and I in mind on Calvary's cross. D.L. Moody one time heard a message by Henry Morehouse clear back in 1867. And after that message, Moody just stood there stunned. And with tears coming down his face, he said, I never knew God loved me so much. And looking back on that particular moment several years later, he said, that's when my heart began to thaw out. You see, His love ought to make us a lovable people. Remember what Jesus said in John 13, by this shall all men know that ye are my what? Disciples. Say, how would they know? By our love. His love transplanted within us should cause us to love one another. Oh, the love of God is very personal. It is an intimate love. Oh, the children sing it. Jesus loves me, this I know. And God has told us where? For the Bible tells me so. And it's one of the great truths that the tiniest child can recognize. Number 8, the love of God is supportive in strength. Galatians 5:6, for in Jesus Christ there's neither circumcision, it availeth anything or nothing, nor circumcision, he says, but faith which worketh by love. Say, I don't understand. Well, the Galatians were trying to be the best kinds of Christians possible. How do you become the best kind of Christian possible? Well, they thought if they kept all of the Jewish rules and regulations, they would be good Christians. Paul wrote the epistle to Galatians to point out their error and to show them that understanding and responding to the love of God, that would cause them to be good Christians. It is God's will that we emulate His love. Practicing the love of God before others will bring strength into your life. It is God's will, again, that you become like Christ. To have His mind in Philippians 2:5. To imitate Him in Ephesians 5:1. To be conformed to His image in Romans 8 and verse 29. And praise God, the day is coming. He tells us in 1 John, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. True love is demonstrated in our actions, Just as God acted on our behalf with unselfish love, it is His will that we act accordingly. Well, now we go back to Romans chapter 5, and the last point, the love of God is evidential in proof. The love of God is evidential in proof. And notice here again, he says in verse 8, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, and we were, without Christ we are His enemy, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Without Christ, I wasn't going to call this one rescuing love. Maybe that should be another point by itself. But without that rescuing love, none of us would have any hope whatsoever. His love extends far beyond any human love. When we sin, sin makes us an enemy of God. James chapter 4, verse 4 tells us that whoever is a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. I don't know how many times in the ministry I've often thought, why would anyone who claims to love God sin deliberately? God is not the enemy of anyone. There are times when the devil wants us to think that. He loves us all. He hates our sin. But He doesn't hate anyone. And He's proved His love by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us while we were yet sinners, when we were at enmity with Him. Romans 8:32 states that God did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us. Ephesians 5, verse 2, Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us. Galatians 3, 13 states that He became a curse for us. What are all those passages saying? They're saying over and over again, I love you. How are we going to respond to that? Circumstances did not bring Christ to that cross, but it was the divine plan of God who recognize our greatest need. The Lord's table is a wonderful reminder of God's love for His own. And I've already said, in this life, we're never going to know or understand the depth of His love toward us, but it should cause us to respond to His love and with obedience. It should make us a more loving people, not just to Him, but to one another as well. In fact, in both the Old and New Testament, we're commanded to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And again, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. And Peter added, above all these things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover a multitude of sins. Recognizing these truths, we should come to the Lord's table with a fivefold directional look. First of all, to look within. We should respond to His infinite love with a fresh desire to be cleansed from all sin. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to what? Forgive us. Praise God. Say, how can He do that? Because He loves us. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we look within. And then we look back. We should praise Him for what He did on Calvary's cross. And then we look ahead. We should trust Him. His death on Calvary's cross was evidence of His love for us. He knows what's best for us. And He wants us to practice His love in daily living. And then we should look around. And when we look around, oh, there's much to do. Jesus wants us to serve Him. God loves us so much that He allows us to be His servants. And then lastly, looking up, we should expect Him. He's coming again. And I really believe He's coming very soon. So we better recognize the depth of His love as we grow in His Word. Because God's Word says we grow in grace and knowledge. Grace is a result of His love. Do you truly love him today? I mean, I'd like you to go away today asking yourself that question. Do I really love him? How do I demonstrate it in my life? What evidence is there in my life that I truly love him? And lastly, how are you responding to his love? Let's pray together. Father, perhaps in this life we'll never thoroughly understand that love. But one thing we know for certain, we're unworthy. And God, we choose to believe thy word. You have told us and demonstrated in so many ways that you love us. Father, as we partake of the elements this morning, I pray that our hearts and our minds will be set upon the love that you had when you chose before the very foundation of this world that we would be your children and you would be our God and that you would love us. Father, help us to absorb that love daily in your word, daily as we praise you. And then help us to show that love to others that they might understand that you indeed are Lord of all. I thank you for this precious truth in your word this morning. I pray that it might strengthen us through this week as we think about your love for us. We pray this in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.